Okay, John, tell me all about Grandpa Charlie.
Hello, Carol. This is all about your grandparents first. Grandpa Charlie and Grandma Jenny came from Russia, Minska Belia, a small town, where they grew up some of their life, but not very long. I think Grandma came here when she was 11, and Papa Charlie came here. He wasn't even Bar Mitzvah yet. He got Bar Mitzvah right here in the United States. Then they decided, what are they going to do? Pop came first. And
that's the rest thing. Hold it.
Oh, Grandma Jenny, she came with her parents and some friends to this country. Papa Charlie ran away from Russia. I don't know how he got here with some friends. When they got here, they took care of him for a short time until he got a job at an early age in a factory sewing leggings. Then he decided he must learn English, so he went to night school. So, by the way, he graduated 1A. That was one semester he learned English. Then he said, well, he wants to do something else, so he got a job driving a taxi. He knew how to drive. He picked up very, very fast, and he became a stockholder. He put money in all the time into the stocks, which was a good idea, and it wasn't. Grandma Jenny, on the other hand, she came in with her parents, Grandma and Grandpa, which I never saw. I don't remember ever seeing them, because I think my grandmother died when I was a little tiny tot, maybe 1 year old. They met, Mama and Papa met through friends that they came from the same shtetl, which means a little town in Russia. And then when they came to Brooklyn, New York, they met. So they introduced Mama Jenny to Papa Charles, and they fell in love very, very much. In fact, I think Grandma was a year older than Grandpa, and she never told him. So they finally got married, and first Uncle Harold was born, then the star, me, I was born, then Happy was born, and many years later, Arthur was born. Okay, getting back to the early years of my life, I was a little girl, maybe 4 years old or less. I know I wasn't going to school then. Uncle Happy, rest in peace, is in the living room. He must have been 2 years old, playing with matches. He loved the fire of the lighting of the match, where he felt that it was so bright and so light that he just took a whole package of matches and threw it up in the air, which set the drapes on fire. Grandma Jenny, going back to Grandma Jenny, was washing the floor in the kitchen. It was a flat that we lived at that time in Jersey City, and she was scrubbing the floor, and me, being a little tot, maybe 4 years old, I said, Ma, I smell fire. Quick, come quick. She shoved me, I almost landed on the floor. She got so excited, but she knew what she wanted to do. She was really smart that way. She ran with the pail of water and threw it on the fire, which ignited a little on the end of a drape. In the meantime, we always had a telephone, which was to our advantage, a kind of Papa being in the cab business. We always had to have a telephone. She called the fire department. I don't know how I ever got down the stairs because I don't remember that part. It was a flight down. But all I know, we were outside. And the fire department came and they put the fire out. But you should have seen the drapes.
So basically with her water, she wasn't able to put the fire out. It had gone
not completely, no. But she did as much, you know,
right.
She did as much as she could. But still the drape was terribly burned. But they said that she really prevented it from going further. See?
So what were what were Grandma and Grandpa like as you were growing up? What were they like as people?
They had a million one relatives from
not
all
what they
over
had.
The world.
Who were they? What were their personalities like? Who were they like? What were they like
parents? Oh, Papa Charlie, he loved life. He loved dancing. He loved to play cards. Grandma Jenny loved the movies. She only went to go to the movies 3-4 times a week. And she was a fairly good cook. Of course, a Russian star, you know, what she was taught. Grandpa Charlie worked around the clock, and any time he had off, he used to play cards. But he had an old, it wasn't really old, it was a taxi, they called it. It was a black, great, big taxi cab, they called it. That was later on, he went into the Tiger Taxi Company. But they used to call him to take, say an old lady called him up on the phone. She had to go, I don't know how many miles away, and he'd pick her up and then come back and then go back again and take her home and go to a place. But he had several people like that. On the other side, that was just one of his extra jobs. He worked around the clock with the Tiger Taxi Company. But the other was in his spare time. He also taught the landlord's daughter how to drive a car, which we got a little bit off the rent. Can't help it. I'm laughing. It's making me funny.
Tell me about the gin, bathtub gin.
That's later. That comes in when we had our house.
Okay.
Wait a minute. So then we waited until we had to go. We moved out of that place, moved into an apartment, brand new. We stayed there for a year or so until our house was being built. We had Grandma Jenny, Grandpa Charlie bought a duplex upstairs and downstairs. And then we moved into our own place where Papa Charlie used to get boxes and boxes of cherries. And he washed the cherries and he put them in the bathtub. And a woman and a lawyer's son from Bayonne would come with alcohol. And Papa Charlie, they wanted him to make liquor. So, like you see the bathtub gin on TV, that was Papa Charlie. He made all the kids wash the cherries, bottle the cherries, put the sugar in, and then we had to go up on a ladder in the attic and store the liquor. And God knows how many bottles were up there and jars. Okay, next, I don't know if I said, I went to school when I was about 5 years old. We didn't have any kindergarten. None of us kids went to kindergarten. We never had milk. It was an old school, and it must have been about 10 blocks away where instead of walking, I'd run. I was always running to school, running home for lunch, because we never had a cafeteria. You had to either bring your lunch or go home and eat. So most of the time, I went home and ate my lunch. And sometimes I would bring a whole bag of lunch that my mother would make for me, and I always told her I was very hungry, but I never told her why I wanted so many sandwiches and fruits. There was a girl named Dorothy that had heart trouble in the orphan's home. So she used to meet me at recess time, and I would give her most of my lunch. Until one day, Mama Jenny came to the school, and she watched that great big bag of groceries that I was just giving it away. And when I got home, I don't want to tell you what she said, but she really yelled at me. That was the end of my lunch period. Okay, second part of my life, I wanted a dog. So Grandpa Charlie went to Linden, New Jersey, and this woman had a kennel, and he got this beautiful little terrier called Mamie. Mamie was a stage dog. The most enjoyable part of my young life then was Papa Charlie would take the whole family once in the blue moon to a great big park or the seashore, either one where they had water. And he'd throw a stick, even in the ocean, he'd throw a stick in the ocean, the dog would go out, get the stick, come back, give it to him. One time I thought the dog drowned, I was starting to cry. So Papa Charlie was a marvelous swimmer. That's something I envied him all my life. And he would go see where the dog was. He came back with the dog and the stick. And then, let me see now. Should I tell you about the dog?
Well, what I want to know is, what were you like as a little girl?
Oh, I must tell you what happened about the Mama Jenny. She was hanging the line of clothes. Then we didn't have wash and dry. But she was hanging the clothes in the backyard of our house. And the line broke. So I had a brand new dress on. It was beige. I'll never forget it like it was yesterday. And nobody would go up on that pole because it was a little shaky. But it had these prongs that you go right up on top. Your mother, Al, went up on those prongs, all the way up. I took the line and hung the line onto the pole. So Grandma Jenny, instead of saying, you did such a marvelous thing, she went and gave me a smack. She says, why do you go up on the pole? You almost lost your life, and then you got your new dress on. But I'll never forget that, okay? All right, now, another thing, our house, well, you remember the house was on fire, so I don't want to go in. Oh, when I was a little girl, from the apartment in Jersey City to our house, I wasn't 5 years old yet, when we were moving, it's a few blocks away from the apartment, I remember I dragged and carried a chair, a small chair, all the way for 2-3 blocks, and wouldn't let the moving people take my chair, and I took it all the way to the house. I just knew what I wanted to do. Another thing, when I was a little girl, I was about 5 years old, I was saving for Mother's Day. Papa Charlie, when he gambled and made money, each of us kids got $2, and he'd always say, save a little, spend a little, you'll always have money. So, I had 5 cents in my pocket, my little pocketbook, and I stowed away maybe 15 blocks to buy Mama Jenny a Mother's Day present. Mama Jenny didn't know where I went. I wanted to keep it a secret. I was going to surprise her for Mother's Day. I went to the 5 and 10. Then you could buy things for 5 and 10 cents. I bought a cup for a nickel, and I went over to the girl at the counter, and I said, please wrap it. Here's my 5 cents. She said, you can't wrap the present for 5 cents. You've got to get wrapping paper. I said, well, I have 5 cents. I have no more money. Can't you get me a piece of paper and wrap it? It's for Mother's Day. So she went and got me a piece of paper, and then I said, well, it has no ribbon. She says, well, don't you have any more money? I said, no, I got 5 cents. You could find a little piece of ribbon. it's for Mother's Day. And I strolled out the store thinking like I was a millionaire person with a little gift for my mother. But when I got home, I didn't know Mama was calling the police department, the fire department. She was calling the neighborhood, where was I and if anybody had seen her daughter. When I got in, I didn't want to tell her right away where I was. She gave me a spanking. I will never forget to this very day. And a slap in the face. She said, don't you dare to walk away without telling your mother where you went. Anyway, when Mother's Day came, I gave her the present, and she started to cry. She said, I never knew you went away to buy me a present. So you see, the story is, you should always tell your mother where you go. Okay, now, the crust. Oh, I used to sit under the table when I was a little girl and eat the crust of bread. I would never eat the milk, and I was not skinny, but I was very, very thin, slim. Of course, I used to do a lot of exercise even then. I used to skip rope, go float in the ocean. Little bit, not much. Jump rope, and I had a favorite doll, and Grandma Jenny said, if you ever break that doll, you'll never get another one. It had a Chinese color hair, a big blue eye, and a China face. It was made out of this very, very beautiful material. I don't know the name of the material, but anyway, it wasn't what you see today. I was going down the stairs, and my little carriage fell over and broke the face of my doll. I never got another one since. So Grandma Jenny made me a towel doll. The doll was made out of a dish towel. That was my doll. I had to put eyes, nose, and mouth with crayon, and that was my best toy.
So when you used to be underneath the table,
I used to sing a song called Lick a Lick a Last Time, Lick a Lick a Last Time, and I don't even know what it meant. But that's the song.
Did you used to eat under the table during meals, or when would you go under the table?
No, that was my hideaway. The crust. Not during meals.
That was your hideaway.
That was my hideaway, like people have tents. I took a crust of bread, not the middle. To this very day, by the way, I do the same thing. I eat the crust, and I won't eat the middle. Isn't that amazing? Okay. I won. You want to know about me winning the second place from all the schools in Jersey City in the school relay? We rehearsed, we really went out every day, rehearsing what we were going to do and everything. But that was hard work, and somebody stole my second place medal, which I was on the stage. Grandma Jenny came to see how they presented it to me. And she stopped to applaud so much that I was embarrassed. Everybody knew it was my mother. She kept saying, my daughter, second hand place. Okay, that's another thing. Oh, another thing, I was afraid of Chinese laundry. Mama sent me to get the laundry at the Chinese store, and I was afraid of Chinese people, amazing, but I liked the Chinese nuts. So I go into the store, and this was Jersey City and Ocean Avenue, and I would give him the ticket, he'd give me the shirts, and I'd stand by the door with the door open, and I'd say, do you have any Chinese nuts for me, please? Could I have two? And the man would smile like I could see him yesterday. He says, of course. And he'd always give me two Chinese nuts. That was another thing I guess I didn't tell you about. And let's see, Arthur was born in Mayahegg Hospital in Jersey City, and I played hooky, which I got a terrible scolding for. I hid my books in the doghouse, And his friend Lily across the street and I, we walked maybe 15, 20 blocks to the hospital. Because I didn't go to school and I wanted to see my little brother. So we went up to the hospital and we sneaked into the place where they had all the little babies. And it wasn't like a great big hospital. It must have been a small, small hospital. So all I could see was a blonde baby. I knew that was my brother. And with big blue eyes. That was all. I went in to see Mama. And she said, what are you doing home from school? And I told her I played hooky to see my brother. She said, well, I have some money in the drawer. You take your lady friend, Lily. She lived across the street from me. And you could go to the movies. So that's what we did. We walked to the movie house, and believe me, it must have been a mile long. Until we got there, we were exhausted. And so what happened, we went up in the balcony thinking nobody's going to see us, right? I looked down, and there I saw my father. I thought I was going to die. But I didn't let on that I was in the movie house to this very day. He never knew I was in the same movie. He was there. And
remember what movie it was?
It was the Stanley Movie House in Jersey City.
What movie did you see? Do you remember?
I don't remember the movie. I used to love musicals.
How come he wasn't at the hospital with your mom?
Well, my father?
Yeah.
Don't ask me. If I ever asked him questions, I'd have to be in the corner for the rest of my life. I never asked him questions. He would ask me, but I wouldn't dare ask him. And another thing, I helped Mom in the house. I was always helping her clean the house. Not that she asked me, but I did. And let me think, what else? I got another dog. That dog was put to sleep. It had too many fleas. Something. When I went to school, the dog was okay. When I came home, I saw a lot of people on the porch, and I asked where my dog was, because I used to take him out for a walk, and Mama said that the SPCA took him because he had fleas, and they called him, because the lady that lived in the house didn't want him around. So I got a hold of Papa, Charlie, and told him, and he called the SPCA. It was too late. I wanted to pay any amount to get my dog back. He then went a week or two later, went to Linden to the same lady who gave us the other dog. Didn't give it to us. He bought the dog. Got us another dog. He was like half collie and half something else. I don't know. Name was Buster. We had him 12 years. Although he was stolen right off the porch after 12 years. He used to take Arthur to school, come home, and I don't know how he knew when it was 3 o'clock, he used to go fetch Arthur, and all the kids would be in the back of him, trailing along. It was really a beautiful sight. That's another thing I remember. Okay, I hid my books. I finally got my books. When Papa Charlie came home that time, getting back to the hospital, he says, what are you doing home? So I had to tell him. I went to see my mother, you know, with the baby. He says, well, where are your books? I said, in the dog house. He says, are they really? So he says, go look in the dog house. They weren't there. I thought I was going to collapse. What happened? He was playing a trick on me. He went and put them in the garage. Then I got him back, and I had to do my homework, so he let me go. But he told me never to do that again without asking for permission to take off from school. He was very, very hurt if anybody took off unless you were sick. You couldn't take off. So you want to know about when I got older, then I went to Western Electric?
Yeah.
I wanted to do something to better the country, being that we were in the war. I wanted to be a WAC. When I told my mother I'm going to join the WAC, she almost gave me a whack. I almost went through the window. So anyway, I finally got a job with Western Electric, and I worked 1 year days, which I didn't like, because I had to get up about 4 o'clock in the morning to make the 6 o'clock connections. So I didn't like that. I finally went and got myself a fella that drove 6 of us. You know, it was like a rider that he took the same amount of money as if we were paying on the 2 buses. And I really enjoyed that. We really had gotten to know each other, the 6 of us. We were in different departments, but it didn't make any difference. Then I went on nights, the middle shift, which I asked for because I couldn't make that first shift too good. I didn't get my sleep. So went on the middle shift, which I loved. It was about 3:30 to 12:30, but if I had to work overtime, it was till 2 o'clock. In my department, we were 7 that were very, very close, all different nationalities. So in order to make time, we moved to North Bergen. I went to New York to take the bus. From New York to New Jersey was easier than if I went from Kearney, New Jersey, to North Bergen to make time. So the girls and I, we all got together and we went to New York and we went to the nightclubs around 12:30, 1:30 in the morning. And one place we went to, they refused to let us go in because we had slacks on. And that taught us a lesson that if we wanted to go someplace special, we had to bring along an extra dress with high heels or something special. One place I remember that we went to that we really enjoyed was called the Bell Tavern. I think it's 46th Street, I'm not sure. But what impressed me was everybody was so congenial, everybody talked to everybody, and the ceiling was made from parachutes, which hung down low, and you felt like you were in an airplane. So that was very impressive. Try to think. Later on, I went to Miller's Laboratory, of course, we moved from where we were living, and I wanted to make a change because Grandma Jenny had a stroke, and I had to take off about a year, and so instead of going back to Western Electric, I got a job through Papa Charlie in Miller Laboratory because he gave one of the big executives a job when he was younger in the taxi company, getting back to the taxi company. So this fella thought he would reciprocate the favor and said, well, your father gave me a job when I needed it. I would like to give you a job, but I couldn't get it from where we lived. There was another place, Miller Laboratory, near where we lived, but I couldn't get that one, so I went back to Jersey City in that company, the Miller Laboratory. Also, we had a big shindig, and I won a certificate of merit, not only in Western Electric, but also in Miller Laboratory. The one in Western Electric was the one that I submitted some beautiful suggestions and complaints both to the executives in Western Electric, which later on that they called me about 6 months later to come to a meeting. And I went to a meeting not knowing what I did. I never thought I did something wonderful until the Admiral and all those other big shots that were on the stage. It was raining, I remember like yesterday, and they called my name, and I didn't even hear my name being called till one of the reporters said to me, Ned, they're calling your name, Carter. And I said, oh yeah, that's me. So they said, we want you on the stage. So as I was running down there, my hat fell down, I picked the hat up, my shawl fell down, because it was very cold and rainy, and I felt so embarrassed, I can't tell you. I got up on the stage, and everybody shook hands. I felt like a midget. They were all about 6 foot, 6 foot two. I was the only woman among 500 men that were there that addressed me, and they all stood up when I got up on the stage, and I just couldn't believe what was happening. I thought I was like in a movie. And they tell me that in order to better the war, I did marvelous work, and they explain what I did. There was one little thing that I remember, that I hurt my finger on a machine that I had to work on the assembly line. And every time I worked that machine, I hurt my finger. Every other person before me hurt the same finger on the machine. So I said, there must be some way of doing this machine without hurting your finger. And so I suggested a certain disc to lift the machine up, to put the disc in a certain groove, and this will lift it up where when you put the lever down, it will not hurt your finger, which I tried a million times by putting in some kind of coin to see if I could lift it up. And I worked on it until they had noticed the suggestion, how marvelous it was, and they told me so on the stage. Another thing I did was make a complaint, which became something wonderful, was during our breaks, they used to have a man come around with soup, and that soup was cold. Now, here we had snow and very, very cold weather. So in order for people to keep warm, you have to have hot soup, not cold soup, right? If you went up in the cafeteria, it took you 15 minutes and 15 minutes to come down. You only had a half hour, so you would try and get something on these people that come around with the wagons with soup or sandwiches. So I said, in order to better the war, they should have hot soup so people would drink the hot soup and get more energy and feel good inside, and they do their work better. On the lighter side of my life, every year that I can remember when we were young, Grandma Jenny would close the house for a couple weeks, and we'd go up the mountains, and it had to be kosher. Otherwise, she wouldn't eat. So Uncle Hap used to play saxophone, clarinet. He also knew piano, but never used the piano. He got a job at the Midwood Hotel playing sax clarinet, and he made good money, and he enjoyed his work. And then I became an entertainer. I entertained there. Also, I was in the Getting Back at another era. I was in the minstrel show way back, I think, in 1932 or 33, around that year. And I did a tap dance, also a soft shoe, where the director, I think his name was Mr. Chalman, wanted to take me on the road, but Mama Jenny wouldn't let me go. So when I went up the mountains, I entertained a little up there at the Midwood Hotel, the Levitt Hotel, the Neverly Hotel, also different little towns that they had, and we had a lot of fun. Do I know about Arthur? Uncle Arthur? One time when we went up to the Midwood Hotel, by the way, this was a kosher hotel, Arthur was about, I don't know, maybe 3 years old, something like that. I know he didn't go to school, because I used to tell him stories in the children's dining room. The children's dining room, because he wouldn't eat. He was skinny, believe it or not. He had blonde hair with blue eyes, very, very good-looking child. So I was telling him about Red Riding Hood and the bears and the pigs and different things like that. When they had the entertainment that evening, Happy was playing the sax and clarinet in the orchestra, and they had a show for children up to about 12 years old. So everybody that had children, they really planned, you know, like elocution lessons or dancing lessons or piano lessons or whatnot. But Arthur didn't have any lessons. He wasn't prepared for anything. But when they got through with having each child perform, the MC said, "Is there anyone we left out?" And Arthur raised his hand. So his name was Nat Tucker, by the way. I remember the name. "Yeah, please come up on the stage." Now, Arthur wasn't prepared at all, but he said, "I know stories." And he told a story about Little Red Riding Hood went into the wolf's house and the wolf went out. And he made such a mess of those stories, and everybody was laughing, and they thought it was hilarious. Then they start playing the music a little bit, and he picked up his hand and said, "Stop the music. I could dance." So with one foot, the right foot, I remember, he tapped. He thought he was doing a tap dance, and you should have seen him. Then he turned around with the same foot all around, and he tapped with the foot. He says, "See, I could tap dance." But he really got everybody in stitches. There was a fat lady that almost fell off the chair. He made her laugh so much that she just couldn't control herself. Well, anyway, that was one time that I remember. It was when we were up the mountains. He was really terrific. Papa Charlie, on the other hand, did not like being up the mountains, only on certain weekends where he'd come up and play cards, and that was what he did. And he liked dancing. He danced with me, taught me a little bit, and I taught everybody in the family how to dance, too. Grandma Jenny could not dance one step until I said to her, "Ma, you're going to learn how to dance." And I taught her how to Lindy Hop. Would you believe it? At her age. What else can I tell you?
How about why you went to Florida?
I caught a terrible cold. And I was doing photography then. And I asked the boss if I could get off a couple of weeks because I had a very bad cold, and she said, okay. So I left for Florida on a bus, and I wanted to see the whole United States, every state in the Union, but it wasn't that easy. I went to Florida, and it was really hot, and I'm wearing a Silver Fox three-quarter jacket. I thought it was going to be real cold. And I finally found a place to stay in a tea house. It was like they served tea in the afternoon, and there were old people, which I didn't want. I wanted a younger group of people to, you know, to be with, but I couldn't find a place to live there. The hotels were expensive, and the rooms were scarce. It was in the month of November, as I recall. Anyway, I sat under a coconut tree every day for a few days and then got rid of my cold, but I didn't want to go home. I fell in love with Miami City and Miami Beach. I just loved it. I finally got a job as a coffee hostess. You had to have blue eyes, blonde hair, and you couldn't be more than 115 pounds. And I got the job. All I had to do was pour coffee or tea and make sure they had the right cup. I was there about 3 weeks when I caught not only a cold, but I got a pain in my right side, and I went to the doctor, and he said I had to get off my feet. So I got off my feet. It was a combination, I thought, of appendix and maybe something else. I don't know. Anyway, I couldn't stand myself. After 1 week, I felt better. I went to an interview in the Boulevard Hotel. They were namely known for golf. Beautiful hotel. And they had three dining rooms. They had a coffee snack bar. They had a cafeteria. And at that time that they interviewed me, they needed someone badly. So I got the job as a receptionist, nutritionist, and a waitress. And I had to be in the main dining room. It was a pink dining room. It was beautiful. Because the Philadelphia baseball team was practicing at the Flamingo Park.
Okay, so what happened to you, the pain in your side? After
that
went away.
Never came back.
Okay, now the baseball team that would have started practicing, that probably wouldn't have happened until January, the end of January or February probably. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, could have been.
Okay.
But I wasn't experienced as too much as a waitress, but they said they would try me out. But being that I wasn't a drinker on booze, and most of the waitresses were, they were in and out, and I was there steady, so I was the only one that they kept on in the dining room until the season was over. They go by seasons. It was very, very interesting. Of course, I met quite a few people, and one person came in drunk, which I was supposed to report anybody coming in drunk and report them to the big executive. I had some kind of form that I had to put their name down. Well, this man came in when we were almost closing. I was the only waitress left where it was three or four. They all went out and wouldn't even talk to this man. And I said to him, you know, we're closing. And he said, he called me Kelly, which my name was Carter, but they didn't believe my name was Carter, so I let him call me what he wanted. He said, Kelly, I'm starved. Could you get me something to eat? Now, the dining room was closed. I said to him, I will go into the cafeteria and see if I can get you something. And came back with a couple of Danish hot rolls. I said to him, this is all I can find, and some coffee, and it could hold you over until you can get something else. He was so impressed, he couldn't believe that I would go out of my way to do this. But I had to schlep him out of there while the executives were in the next snack bar, which almost touched the dining room where he was in. And I got him out of the door when somebody on the second floor had a pail of water. And as I took him out, spilled the water, they knew he was drunk, and he would be fined $25 if he was caught. What happened? I got soaking wet. So did he. But anyway, we got him into his room, and I came back and cleaned up. And he said he would never, never forget me. He wanted to give me some money. I wouldn't take it. Another time, I went with two girls. They had a roadhouse and a nightclub called the Nut House. It was a few blocks away. We were not allowed to go out with any of the guests in the hotel. So the other two waitresses and I, we thought, well, we'd chum together. We were living in the same room anyway. We went to the Nut House. We walked a few blocks and saw a man, young man, under 30, must have been maybe 25, 26, lying down in the street, in the gutter. And we were crossing the street, and we said, what are you doing? He says, I don't want to live anymore. So the three of us picked him up and made him stand and told him to get a cab and go home. And we left him over there, and we went on our way. We thought, well, he'd be okay. But the next day, he commits suicide, which I'll never forget. Getting back to the nut house, we went over there, and we met a lot of people. And it was our hangout. If anybody wanted to meet, we'd say, meet me at the nut house. I thought that was funny. Another thing I wanted to mention is I kept buying shoes in Miami City, not knowing that your feet stretch, and I was taking the same size as I took in the city. And so after the third pair, the salesman in the same shoe store said to me, Miss, he said, you bought so many pairs of shoes, he says, and your feet are so swollen, why don't you take a larger size? So anyway, he said, you're so sweet and so nice, could I buy you your lunch? And I hesitated, but then I said, okay. So we went to, they had a great big drugstore where they had like a restaurant and a fountain, and it was the first time in my life that I ordered a lettuce and tomato sandwich, and it came back a bacon lettuce and tomato sandwich. I never ate bacon in my life. I bit into it, and I yelled, what is this? I opened it up. I said, bacon. I'm not allowed to eat bacon. He says, well, get something else. I said, no, it's good. I'll eat it. Anyway, that's another side of my story. While being in New York City at a dance, I met a fellow there. I don't have to mention his name. And we got acquainted, and he asked me for a date. That he had another couple that we were going to go out with. Anyway, we start dating, and he was in the Navy. So we used to correspond with one another, and I saw him just once more in the city where he had to go back to the Navy. Being corresponding, he asked me to come to L.A. and we'd get married and live in Berkeley. And I got to L.A. He was out to sea. And what happened was when he finally came in on a furlough, I'm leaving some out in there, I introduced him to one of the women, my sister-in-law, she rests in peace, niece. And she picked me up the same time as this fella came over, Jimmy. And I had to go to work. So in the car, she picked us up that she was going to Hollywood and he was getting a ride to Hollywood. Anyway, they took me up to the photography place where I was working. So I found out later on that he was having an affair with her, so I cut it off. I'm leaving out a lot, Chris. I don't want to be going into that. 2 weeks before I was supposed to get married, I called it off. I didn't want to marry him anymore. And I'd go back and forth to the East Coast when it was warm. When it was too cold, the weather, I couldn't take it. I came back to L.A. And
why did you prefer L.A. to Florida at that point?
Because it's for all year living, L.A. it seems better to me. I knew more people in L.A. than I did in Florida. I didn't know too many people. The only thing, it's oppressingly hot there, too, which I didn't like. I was thinking about the heat and my colds. I was catching an awful lot of colds. Hey, you're catching colds, too. Okay, another thing, let me think. When I came home, anyway, I met my husband. I came home, I couldn't stand it. I went back to L.A., and I figured that's the last time I was going to go back east and not coming back to L.A. I met my husband 3 years later at a dance on a free ticket. By that I meant was the week before I went to a dance with my cousin Milton, and you had to sign up on a free ticket. If you won the free ticket, they would send it in the mail. If not, you'd have to pay. So I finally got the ticket in the mail, and I figured, oh, well, I could always switch a date that I had and go to the dance. And I went to the dance, and coming out of the ladies' room, my husband, Jack, he saw me, and he went over and asked me to dance. And I thought it was kind of funny, because as he was holding me so tight, I thought, well, either he likes me or he's going to get fresh. What is this? Anyway, he seemed like a nice fella and asked me if I want to meet his friends. And I met two of his friends. One was divorced and the other was getting a divorce. I met them and they had met some girls. And so we went out for a bite to eat to Allie Hammond's. I remember that. And this is a strange thing. I met his boyfriend's girlfriend, and I knew the girl. She was a bookkeeper down the road from where I worked as a waitress for a Chinese restaurant. So it was really strange. Anyway, I was telling my husband now that at that time he was a young man, that I was going back east. And we got acquainted, and he didn't take me out right away. In fact, he didn't even take my phone number right away. He took me home, and he asked me for my phone number, didn't write it down. And I said to him, well, how could you remember if you don't write it down? But sure enough, he remembered my number and called me on the phone, made a date. So we went out quite a few times, and he wanted to become engaged, which I said it wasn't necessary because I was going to the East Coast, but I will be back. So he says, well, no, I want you to have a ring. So we went up to his so-called cousin, and we picked out the stone for my ring. And I said to him, you don't have to buy me a ring. I don't have to be engaged. If I love somebody, that's enough for me. He says, no, I want you to have a ring. So they had two shapes, a round one and a marquee. And I didn't know one diamond from the other, and I picked the other one. So they made it up into a ring, and we became engaged. And I told him, if I'm engaged, how does he know if I'm going to come back with the ring? He says, I'll take that chance. So I'm back. And we got married 2 years later. The happiest day of my whole life, my baby was born. And the second time of my happiest day of my life is when he got married.
What about Dad? What did you like about him?
Oh, I thought Daddy was very charming, and he was quiet, which was something I needed to balance my life, because I'm the other way. I'm an extrovert. He's more on an introvert at the time. But he was a beautiful dancer, and he was quiet. And, of course, he had Lois, which I thought I'd bring her up as my own, not knowing I was going to have trouble with her. But I did an awful lot.
So when you were attracted to other men, did they tend to be on the quiet side or not necessarily?
Me? Yes. No, I was attracted to men that weren't very boisterous, but they had to be intelligent, they had to be good-natured, they had to be clean, they had to be good dancers, and treat me like a woman, not to cuss every two words, or if they were dirty, I didn't like that, you know.
So Dad fit the bill.
Yes, he was very clean, and he was charming, and he had Lois, where I thought she was quiet. I thought I'd raise her as my own, but I had trouble with her.
Let's see, a couple of other questions here. One is, tell me about your father and your mother's brothers and sisters, briefly.
Oh, Mama had wonderful brothers. Oh, Uncle Sam, Uncle Joe, Uncle Abe, and Uncle Izzy, which when I was a little girl, he passed away and I went to his funeral, which was bad. I don't believe in little children going to funerals because they think about it the rest of their life. And he didn't have any children, so we used to walk down from Mama's house a couple of blocks to see him all the time. Now, Mama's brothers were very close with Mama. And Papa Charlie's family, they were close, but not that close. But Papa Charlie was very close with his sister, Rose. Now, he had two lovely sisters, Rose and Mary. My Aunt Mary died. She wasn't very old, but she died when I was a youngster. But she was very good to me. Then there was my Uncle Sam on my father's side and my Uncle Max, which I didn't like because he wasn't nice. Wasn't good to us. Papa Charlie lent him money he got into debt with horses twice, and Papa Charlie lent him money and never got it back, not even a letter saying, I'm sorry, I don't have it. And when I have it, I'd give it to you back. Never. In fact, when I went to California, I looked him up, and he didn't go out of his way for anybody. He was a gambler, and card player, and no good. Now, Mama had very, very close relatives from Europe that used to come to our house. Some were from New York, Bayonne, they were Brooklyn, Bronx. They used to come down all the time. Papa's family were more distant. They weren't that close. They'd come down, but they weren't that close. Let me see, what else? He had a stepmother. Papa Charlie had a stepmother that was nice, very lovely lady. He never saw his mother. When he was born, his mother died, which he always looked at me and thought I looked like his mother. Which was a compliment, by the way. Let's see. Did I tape out the Harvest Moon? I went to the Roseland. That's in New York. And I used to go there with my friends when we didn't have a date. And this one man that I was dancing with asked me to be in the Harvest Moon with him. He was a terrific dancer. And I was a good dancer, too. So when I came home, I spoke to my mother. She'd say, I'll give you a Harvest Moon. I gotta go back to school. Anyway, that was another part of my life. What else do you want to know?
Well, you went throughout the U.S. and you went in most of the states.
Yes.
And my question is, what did you see, and was most of it the same, or was most of it different to you?
Well, I didn't have very much money, so I figured someday I'd come back to the States. What I did see was with my family was the Alexander, Virginia, the George Washington Plantation, which I adored.
Was that with the whole
with my whole family?
Six of you.
The whole family. I don't remember if Papa Charlie was there or not.
Okay, my question here is, how often when you used to do things as a family, I mean, was Papa Charlie with part of that, or was he off gambling a lot of times?
No, he was working. He was working on the cab. He had to work sometimes 10 hours to make things meet. We lost our house, remember I told you? And he loved everything. He loved people. He loved music. When he had money, he'd take us all down to New York City. It was like, it looked like a cellar with all white tablecloths with flowers. And men would play the violins. It was so elegant. It was beautiful, beautiful music, like you don't hear too much of it now. I loved that. Good food. And we didn't do it very often, but he was a sport. When he had money, he wanted to buy Mama and I clothes all the time. It was raining. I remember like yesterday, we went to Hester Street, I think it was. I don't remember too much about, downtown New York was cheap. And I remember like we went into the store and he bought Grandma Jenny a fur coat with mink collar. It was so expensive because he won some money gambling, I guess. He bought me a fur coat, and he bought a suit, a blue and white pencil striped suit for me. And he said to the man, I'll give you so much for the whole thing. And the man say another few $100s, and he said, it's raining out. You don't even have one customer besides us. He says, take it or leave it. So the man says, I can't do it. So we walked out, and Papa Charlie mumbled to me, don't go back. This man will follow you. We had the umbrellas. We were walking to the car. Sure enough, the man came back, and Papa Charlie got it for his price. Mama had the fur coat. I got my fur coat, and I also got a pencil stripe navy suit, which was beautiful. I wore it for years. Okay, what else? Papa Charlie took us many times with the workman's circle when they had picnics and outings, but it wasn't very often.
I just tell you, a lot of times you travel throughout the U.S. by train and by bus.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Did you find most of it was the same, or did you find each part was different?
Well, I feel every state has something to offer. Mm-hmm. Every spot is like a new event, new episode. Just like when I was on the bus, I met a blind Indian chief, and I had apple gum that Mrs. Wilder gave me, a going away present, a box of apple gum. And I took it out to chew. I used to chew. I didn't smoke then. I used to chew, and I was looking a whole row of Indians in the back, and I was closer to the back than in the front. And I just kept looking at them, and they were looking at me, and I didn't realize they were looking at what I was chewing as I took it out of the box. So I said, would you like a stick of gum? No, I called it slice of gum then, not stick. Would you like a slice of gum? And they went like this. They didn't say anything. And I took out the gum, and I gave each one a slice of gum. But the chief went and took it with the paper. And he was chewing it. And I said, take the paper off like this and chew. But he was smiling and chewing on the gum with the paper. That was going through. I don't exactly remember where they got off. Arizona or where, but I remember one of those places where the Indian, all these huts were, and all these little places where they even sold jewelry. When we stopped, I wanted to buy some jewelry, but I didn't have too much time. That was one incident that I liked, and it's a lot of open fields, but I enjoy going on the bus. The only thing is it's not comfortable to sleep, you know. Another time, on the bus, Amarillo, Texas, I wanted a pair of boots. It was snowing, and I was very cold, so I went to get the boots, and I went to every store. We just had, we'll say, an hour or two. You can't buy too much, you know. I went looking. Not one place had boots, but when I came back, I noticed the bus driver was looking at me. He kind of gave passes, and I didn't like that, went over to me. I know I was a pretty-looking kid, and he even said so, but, I didn't want to bother with anybody like that. See? I knew some people in Florida. I knew some people in California, so, I weighed my thoughts where I wanted to go. The only thing, I went to Oregon with some people. That's another thing I forgot to tell you. Where I was headed up for Washington, I remember. I wanted to see Washington. But I, while I was in Oregon, I went on a vacation then. I wanted to get out of the apartment because I didn't like the girl I was living with at the time. Let me see. I called New Jersey and they told me that Harold was getting married. So I flew back. I flew. But you don't see anything when you're flying.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But,
what else?
Well, just, at that time, was it fairly uncommon for a single woman to be traveling a lot? Or wasn't that uncommon?
Not really. People did, just what they did now. It's just that it's more open now. I wasn't a youngster then. Mm-hmm. I was up in years. It's strange. I wasn't 16 or 18. I was in my 20s, you know. In fact, when I went to Florida, I don't remember how old I was, but was it 15, 25? 15.
Yeah.
25. 26. I wasn't a young person. Right. I was up in years. And I felt, when I got real older, I had a lot of dates, a lot of people. In fact, quite a few people asked me to get married. Well, during the war, I liked someone. I really did. And I went to the Armory. I really fell in love with the pharmacist. And when he went to the Armory, I never saw him again. I said goodbye to him. And I don't know what happened. I know he got married, but I never forgot him. Mm-hmm. Because every once in a while, I still think of him. But, of course, you picture him as you do when you're young. Now, perhaps I wouldn't even give him a second thought if I saw him. I mean, he could be bald and, I don't know, you know. He was very, very sweet and charming. We had a lot in common. We used to play tennis. We used to dance. We used to go picnicking and, you know, different things like that. Daddy is more reserved, where I need somebody a little more my type, but it turned out all right. We have our good times. We have our other, you know, quarrels like everybody else. Of course, I don't think Daddy ever really understood me. I need to be around people, and Daddy doesn't. Daddy doesn't care if it's just him, you, and I over here. I mean, that's him. I can't live like that. I always wanted a big house. Never got that.
Is there anything on your notes that, did you cover everything on your notes?
I'm attending the Chinese lawyer, buyer, second place, soul school relay, Arthur Boyne, hid my books, Western Electric. He wanted me to hide my certificate of merit so nobody would see it.
Who did?
Daddy. You know, there's a lot of jealousy. I can understand this. When we had bought the house in Westchester, I wanted to put up my certificate of merit from Western Electric. I don't even know what happened to the Miller one. He says, no, you can't do that. You don't have to. No, I don't want it. So I figured I'm going to fool him. I put it up in the service porch, and when we got company, I took him all around the other way so I could see my certificate of merit. All right, Dad. Let's see, what else? The Catskill Mountains, Harvest Moon, The Entertainer, The Dancing. What is it? Oh, Western Electric. I didn't get that, did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, wait a minute. The Swift Company, when I was 19 years old. Did I do that one? When I was 19 years old, I met a fella through my brother Harold. Harold worked as a cashier in a department store, and this Aaron Friedman worked in the dairy department. He knew I was looking for a job. I was 19 years old then. And he said, you know, they're hiring, if you go down to the Swift Company and interview, if maybe they could hire you. So I figured, okay, that's great. I'll get down there. They need to demonstrate it. It was hard to get a job at 19 years old when I was young. The job stated you had to be 21. So I lied about my age. I said I was 21 and took the test, and I passed the test. But why they said you had to be 21 was because some of the places they would send you, you had to either go by car or by train or, you know, out of the state. And I guess it kind of their insurance, I guess you had to, you know, had to be qualified. So they, it was something to do with margarine. First prize margarine and Nuco. They still have Nuco right now. You had to color your margarine. You did not buy margarine colored. People don't know that.
What color was it?
It was a little brown disc where you had to mix it. You mix all your margarine, and then you put it back into a, like into a cake, like in the form of a cake or in the form, shape of the box. So what happened, I said, I got the job, and they said you needed to have a cake made from margarine for display. You didn't have to give it to anybody. You just had to have it displayed. So when I told Grandma Jenny, she said, margarine is not kosher. We can't use it. Not knowing that it was made from vegetables. I tried to tell her there was nothing in it that was made with lard. So what happened was that I baked a cake on butter and said it was margarine. And I remember going to these various states, Camden, New Jersey, Poughkeepsie, New Jersey, different places, and I baked a cake and put it on display. And after the evening where it was almost completed with my demonstration, I would cut the cake and give it out to customers. And every place I went to, I would sell out. And I was really commended how good I was. And some of the managers would give me perfume, cologne, they gave me soap dishes, they gave me cleanser I'd bring home, different things like that, because they really liked me. What happened is that when I was in, I think it was Camden, New Jersey. Is that New Jersey or is that New York? Camden, New Jersey. Is that New Jersey? Camden? Or is that New York?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Anyway, I was there, I remember, and you had to go across train tracks, and I went with a cab and also buses. My brother Happy Shrestha used to take me up there, and then he used to go home and then come back and pick me up, and because otherwise I'd have to stay in the hotel, and this way I got the money anyway, and we went out with the money that I would get, because I had Monday and Tuesday I had to make up forms. Well, getting back to the Camden, why I quit that job, I didn't quit, I was fired. I met this distributor, Rosenthal, I think. Old man. He said, I'll take you home. I said, I'm living in so-and-so hotel. He drove me up to the hotel, and he wanted to come up to the hotel room. And I said, that doesn't go with my job. If I did, I wouldn't work for peanuts. So he got real angry and went back to the company and said some mean things that I didn't do my work because I wouldn't let him in the hotel. But 2 years later, on the 33rd Street train, I remember like yesterday, I met my manager. He said, Ned, he said, we found out the same thing that happened to you happened to a married woman, only she turned around right away and told us about it, where you waited and told us, and we didn't believe you. You can have your job back. I says, I don't want my job back. I got a job. I was working for Uncle Louie on 25th Street and also 28th Street. So I didn't need his job. I was making more money then. But this is what I want to tell you. You see, sometimes people really don't believe in you, and you're telling the truth. So you have to be very careful of that. Anyway, what else do you want to know? I think I covered everything, Keith.
I think so.